praise the name of the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost moving in this place. Why don't you reach your hands up one more time and really give him some praise for a moment. Connect with him. In the spirit, would you do it? Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for what you're doing in this place. We thank you for what we feel here today, Lord. For your presence among us. Hallelujah. Work in this place. Speak to us through your word. God, I pray that you would strengthen our faith. Encourage our hearts. Bless our minds for the work ahead. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And everybody said amen. Amen. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 15. 17, rather. Sorry. Luke 17. I like what I feel. Y'all look good. I want to tell you, we had a great service here this morning at the 10 a.m. service, and I feel the same move of the Lord here today in the afternoon service. The apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Contrary to a lot of teaching and preaching that we've heard, and I don't mean to fly in the face of that, because I do believe that some of what has been used in this scripture, I believe it'll preach and I believe it will teach. But this is not a scripture of Jesus condoning small faith. This is not Jesus saying to his disciples, if you just had a little mustard seed of faith, that's all you need. This is not an instance of Jesus saying to his disciples, who, by the way, have just requested of the Lord an increase in their faith. This is not Jesus responding to them, oh, don't worry about an increase of your faith. You don't need an increase of your faith. Why, if you just had the smallest of seeds, that's all you need. That is not what is happening here. I will tell you what happens is often we, if we're not careful, we misread the scriptures and we misextrapolate things because we don't understand that what Jesus is doing at times is teaching a principle. Jesus is not teaching small faith here. Jesus is teaching the principle of faith. And he uses the example of the mustard seed. If you want to understand how Jesus teaches about the mustard seed, you could go to another example where Jesus talks about the mustard seed being like the kingdom. He said, when it is planted. Everybody say planted. What he's speaking about here is the application of our faith. He's not condoning small faith. I really believe that Jesus, his will, in fact, the Bible bears it out without doubt. His will is for our faith to be increased. So the point that Jesus is making here, so we have to understand there's times where Jesus is teaching principles. If we miss the principle, we'll miss the whole point. Remember when Jesus said, when you pray, pray after this manner, and he went into what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus was not saying, when you pray, repeat these words. Jesus was teaching a principle. This is how prayer is applied, in other words. When Jesus said, except the grain of seed fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it dies, it will bring forth much harvest. He wasn't just teaching about horticulture. He wasn't just teaching about agriculture. He wasn't just teaching about something dying. He was teaching a principle, the principle of sacrifice, that something must die in order for more things to live. Something has to die, fall into the ground and die. It's a principle. Jesus is here teaching a principle of faith. If we miss it, we'll miss the entire point. because we might be satisfied to pull out our little mustard seed grain of faith every once in a while and say, well, I still have faith. I'm still barely hanging on. I'm still barely where I need to be. I'm still barely believing. I'm still getting to the house of God, when God would rather have us understand that if you had, notice the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said, well, if you had faith, that's the first words out of his mouth. If you had faith. He didn't say, if you have. He didn't say, if you would use what you have. He said, if you had it. So let's start there. Because I know the Bible says that we're all issued. What does it say? What's the Bible say? We're all given a measure of faith. A measure. It doesn't say what the measure is, but we're all given a measure of faith. Now, can I just crack around that for a minute and tell you what I think what the Bible means there is that... Paul references how that there are some who retained not God in their knowledge. He's talking about those who would eventually be turned over to what we call a reprobate mind. The Bible refers to it a reprobate mind. People who don't even have an inkling of God's Spirit anymore. God doesn't even deal with them anymore. But it starts with them having a knowledge of God but not retaining the knowledge. In other words, we all are given a measure of faith. All we have to do if we have eyeballs is to look at the universe. If we have ears, we can hear the birds sing and the water flowing down the brook. If we have these things, we are able to take in, just inhale the scent of the flowers, inhale the scent of the honeysuckle, inhale the scent of a rose, and you'll know. Your brain will tell you, your nose, your eyes, your ears, your sense of touch will all tell you that there is a God. That is your measure of faith. You start there. There is something bigger than me, greater than me, that has started this whole thing off, and so your measure of faith. Now, what you do with that measure of faith is entirely up to you. And Paul says there are those who would not retain God in their knowledge. In other words, they had that measure of faith but never applied the measure of faith, or they would misapply it into something else. Rather than believe that God created the heavens and the earth, they would believe that some big bang happened somewhere, and through all of these, you know, evolution and all this stuff, here we are coming from monkeys. So that's faith, but that's faith in the wrong direction. So we put our faith in man, or we put our faith in humanism, or we put our faith in false science, or we put our faith in ourselves. We put our faith in everywhere but what it should be applied. So what Jesus is teaching here is the principle of properly applied faith. What do you do with the measure of faith that you have been given? If you had faith, because here's what happens. If we don't, it's like anything else in life. If you don't use it, you lose it. If you sit in a chair and never get out of the chair and exercise your leg muscles, muscular atrophy sets in. And sit there for a year and never get out of a chair, you won't pop out of the chair a year from now. You'll have to have therapy to walk again. Never move your biceps, and you'd be surprised how quickly you lose muscle in your arms and can't even lift a drink of water up to your mouth. What we don't use, we lose. And faith is really a muscle. It is a spiritual muscle that Jesus said, if you don't apply it, if you do not use it, he said, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to the sycamine tree to be plucked up, be thou plucked up by the root, and it shall be done. It shall obey you. You could tell it to be plucked up, and you could tell it to be planted over here. You could tell it to move from there, and you could tell it to move over there. How? If you had faith as the grain of mustard seed. This is not Jesus saying, congratulate yourselves over small faith. Be satisfied with small faith. Jesus is saying, if you would use your faith would grow. You don't need me to give you a miraculous, instantaneous increase of your faith, because faith doesn't work that way, that way any more than your muscle does. If you ask God for big biceps, God will show you a set of weights and say, start picking them up. So when God says, when you say to God, increase my faith, God shows you a challenge and says, now go apply your faith. And the more you use it, the more faith you will have. But don't ask God to do for you what God is asking you to do for yourself. You want more faith? Use your faith. You want more faith? Plant your faith. You want your faith? Some of us want to ask God for big things, and God, I said this a week or two ago, God's not even able to trust us with the small things. Why, God, if I won the lottery, I'd buy a new church. I'd buy the church, a new building. I'd buy the land, whatever pastor wanted. I got, let me, I don't know, I heard on the radio the other day what the last, I don't even what they call it, the lotto or the big jackpot. Yeah, I'm testing y'all. One of you going to pop up. Oh, no, it was $50 million. Well, and there are people in the church that pray, Lord, I've really heard people say, if I win that lottery, why are you paying lottery? Give that to the Lord. That's a sure thing. You know, you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning three times than winning the lottery. But if you give it to the Lord already promised you he'd give it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He said he would cause men to give into your bosom. But we will pray. Some people will pray, Brother Worthen, to win the lottery so they can give God all this money. And they're not even paying tithes on the $500 a week they make right now. Oh, I didn't know I was going there either. I'm surprised too. Increase our faith, Lord. Just give us miraculously increased faith. No, use what you have. Lord, give me $500 million. I'll pay up. No, pay on the $500 a week you make. Lord, I want to be used in the gift of healing. You won't even pray for the guy on the job that presented to you on break that he needed a healing. And you just kind of pass by and say, well, I'll have my church pray for you. Stop and pray. God needs to be able to trust you in those things. And the more you use your faith, the more it will increase, the more it will grow. Can somebody say amen? Amen, amen. So this is not God condoning small faith. This is God criticizing unused faith. It must be exercised. And then he said, if you will use your faith as the grain of a mustard seed, then this is interesting to me. And I said this morning that I was going to talk about conversations with mountains, and I misspoke. I really meant conversations with trees. Conversations with trees. Because Jesus says here that if you would have faith as a grain of mustard seed, as, likened unto. Jesus said, here's the way a mustard seed works. You plant it in the ground, and it being the smallest of all seeds, you can barely see it. If you drop it, you'll never find it. But if you'll take that seed, he says, when it's planted, then it grows. All the potential needed for a big mustard tree is in that seed. All the DNA code, all the genetic mechanisms, they're all in that seed. It is this little bitty, almost microscopic seed packed full of potential, possibilities, promises. But in your hand, it's nothing but a seed. But in God's hands, it's a tree. Jesus said, as a mustard seed, which is planted in the ground, becomes a big tree, and the birds of the air, the same birds that could have swooped down and devoured that little seed out of your hand, will come and rest in the branches of the tree. If you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed. You say, Brother Hawkins, I don't feel like talking to trees today. I can't speak to mountains today. I'm so weak in my faith. Okay, then you may not be able to today. But wouldn't you like to be able to tomorrow? How about this? Some of us, I'm not trying to be mean. I don't know. I feel this in my heart today. But some of us are more committed to losing weight. Some of us are more committed to getting out of debt than we are to increasing our faith. We'll mark on the calendar. We'll write down our weight. I'm 200 pounds. I want to be 170. I want to be there by the end of the year. We'll mark it. We'll start counting calories, and we'll get on the scale once a week, and we'll celebrate our little victories. And all the while, we're asking God, God, increase my faith, increase my faith. And God says, if you would be as enthusiastic about your faith as you are about losing weight, if you would be as enthusiastic about your faith as you are about paying off your debts and being debt-free. So this is what I'm saying. I don't want to be a year from now. I don't want to be where I am right now. I want to be stronger. I want my faith to be increased. I mean, even if it's just almost unmeasurable increase, I want to increase and not decrease. And that only happens by me using my faith, exercising my faith, believing God over things right now that are in my path, in my way. You ever see somebody just used mightily by God? Seems like they can just speak things and they happen and bind this and it's bound and pray for you and you almost know. Brother Lee Stone King, he didn't just start out one day praying for everybody and they get healed, speaking prophetic words and they come to pass. Thousands and thousands of people flocking into here. Brother Stone King, he didn't start out that way. He didn't throw a shingle out on a pulpit one day and say, here I am, big name preacher, come and hear me. And everybody flock in there. He started small. He prayed. I guarantee you there was somebody he prayed for one day that was the first person he ever saw healed. There was something he prayed for one day and didn't know how to ask God, but he asked God. He'll tell you stories about it, how he started out and God began to use him there. And then when you see one person healed when you pray, it gives your faith a little increase. And the next time you say, well, if God did it for me yesterday, surely he'll do it for me again today. And if he healed one, then maybe he'll heal two today. And why not? If he healed two, why wouldn't he just heal everybody that I pray for? I'm telling you, when you exercise your faith will increase. A mustard seed becomes a tree. And you become a mighty prayer warrior by using what you've got now. Oh, come on and clap your hands to the Lord. I'm talking to people today. I know you want to grow. I know you want to be stronger. And so God sent me here today to tell you that it's his will too. Go ahead and use what you've got. And when you put it in his hands, oh, glory to God. There are things that are in my control. There are things that are completely out of my control. So I've learned to do this. I'm going to control the things that I'm called upon to control. This whole pandemic thing right now, we could sit around and worry and worry and worry and worry and worry and worry. And so here's what, you know, a lot of that's just out of our control. Things that are in our control, we'll take control of them. For crying out loud, if we can put a mask on and it helps, we'll put a mask on at church. If we can sanitize our hands and wash our hands, we'll wash our hands, sanitize our hands. If staying apart a little bit helps, then we'll stay apart a little bit and help. And help if we can pare down the church. There's things that we can do. But at the end of the day, I don't know but what the guy on the other side of the gas pump coughed in my way and I got the virus. I don't know. There are things that are in my control, things that are out of my control. So here's what the Lord showed me a long time ago. If you would stop worrying about trying to control the things outside of your realm of influence, go ahead and take care of the things that I've placed in that realm. Use common sense. Use your head. You've got a brain, use it. Be careful. Right? When I had heart surgery a few years ago, I was exercising. I was watching my diet. I was keeping an eye on because I knew my genes, my genetics were geared toward that I had a predisposition for this. I was trying to be careful. And so when I asked the surgeon laying in that bed, why me? I don't smoke. I don't drink. I exercise. I watch my diet. My blood pressure's okay. My blood sugar, a little bit high, but not too bad. You know, all these things, there were no indicators. And he simply said, this is just the hand you've been dealt. I'll never forget that surgeon. He's not a godly man. He's just a heart surgeon. Thank God there are some heart surgeons that know what they're doing. They may not be the best prayer warriors. I'd like a prayer warrior and a heart surgeon. But if they're going to cut me open, I want them to be a heart surgeon. Amen. Come on, somebody. I want you to pray and I want him to operate. But he just looked at me and as carnal as he could be. He said, that's just the hand you've been. He's like, you know, what are you asking me for? You know, I can't tell you to stop this, stop this, stop this, stop this. If I could, I'd tell you that, but you're doing everything you can. And I said, so what can I do to not ever have a heart attack again? You know, he's like, well, basically, he didn't have an answer for that. So I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to try to watch my diet. I'm going to try to keep my blood pressure under control best I can, being a pastor. One of the things he told me, you need to cut out stress. I'm like, you're crazy. You need to follow me around for a week. Amen. We control what we can control, and the rest of it, my dad taught me this. You just got to put it in God's hands. You can't control it. Put it in God's hands. That's faith. That's faith. Faith is trusting God over the things you can't fix, you can't control. You just got to trust him. So I'm not going to worry and fret over those things. I just refuse to be a nervous wreck over things I cannot control. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm preaching this, and I feel a spirit coming from my wife, because my wife has been having to help me with this right now. She's preaching my own sermons back to me. Amen. I feel that coming from you over there. Let's just pray right now for my wife. She loves whenever she gets to throw my sermons back at me. You were just saying the other day, I know what I said. But I tend to go there sometimes, don't you? Do you ever go there? I mean, you're amen on me today, but how many of you know by the end of the week you might be trying to worry about something you cannot fix? So thank God for people in our lives that might remind us every once in a while, hey, remember what Brother Hawkins said, or remember what you said Sunday afternoon. And then this strikes me too. This strikes me that Jesus said, if you will use your faith, if you would use it as the grain of a mustard seed, then you might say unto the sycamine tree, and he gives us what we could say. Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. He tells us the words to say. And notice that it is, you can say to. See that? You might say unto. You might speak unto. Not speak with. Not converse with. In other words, it's a one-sided conversation. We don't ask the tree to talk back. We don't give the tree his chance to speak. This is my point. If you look at the way, I really think that we, if we are not really careful, we totally misunderstand how to get results in the spirit realm. Because the things that I'm talking to you about today, we liken it unto prayer. If we have a tree in our way, we just take that to the Lord in prayer every day. Lord, I need you to move this tree. Now that's different than what Jesus is saying here. My prayer life is all about this. My prayer life is staying connected to God, keeping the Spirit of God active in my heart, in my life, flowing through me, so I can walk in His Spirit. So that when a tree presents itself and it's in my way and I need it to be uprooted, plucked up, planted over there, I don't have to run and I don't have to say to the tree, Mr. Tree, if you don't mind, I'm going to go pray about this. You better be ready. I'm going to go talk to Jesus about this. That's not what Jesus says to do. He does not say to do that about the mountain. He does not say to do that about the tree. He simply says you can have one-sided conversations with trees, and trees would do what you say to do. You can look at your problem. You can look at your trouble. You can look at your predicament. You can look at your problem and say to your problem, you need to be uprooted right now, and you need to be planted over there because you're in my way. And the Bible says when you speak those commands, it should obey you. Somebody give the Lord a praise right now. I just preached to somebody what you needed to hear. Something been in your way and God just gave you a word. You need to speak to that problem. Don't talk about it. Speak to it. The problem is we argue with problems. We argue with trees. We have conversations with mountains. And Jesus never said to do that. So we've misunderstood the point of prayer if we're not careful. And we think that prayer is about, oh God, move the mountain. Oh God, move the tree. Oh God, move the tree. And that's most of what a lot of people's prayer lives are. That's not your prayer life. Your prayer life is coming before the Lord with thanksgiving and praise, offering a sacrifice on the altar, which is to repent before the Lord, being washed and cleansed in his word, which means you get in the word and spend some time in his word while you're praying. It's going on into the to the holy place there. It's there. You spend some time in the spirit with the candlestick. You spend some time with the word, the table of shewbread. You spend some time there with the altar of incense, with your praise and worship going up before the Lord. And that's where you make petitions known. Things like, God, Lord, you know so-and-so needs strength. God, you know my family needs to be saved. God, you know right now our church, we're praying for some property. Lord, right now, that's our petitions are made known. This is not mountain and tree time. Not really. This is just we're getting closer to the Lord. Because when I come out of this, and then I'm going to go beyond the veil, and I'm going to spend some time in the Holy Ghost, speaking in a heavenly language, where I'm really drawing closer to God, closer to God. I'm learning, I'm feeling, I'm able to learn in those places, to walk in the Spirit. When I come out of my prayer closet, I don't come out wore out. I come out fired up, and I come out walking in the Spirit. And every tree and every mountain knows that I'm on my way, because I've been spending some time with the Father. And because I prayed to the Father, I speak for the Father. And when I speak, mountains hear me and trees obey me. That's what your prayer life is about. It is setting you up to walk in authority in the Spirit. Jesus goes on. We're not going to go there, but he goes on in that text and talks to them about servants and masters. And I really believe he's trying to get across to them, you are able to make spiritual commands. And when you make those commands, that tree is your servant. That mountain is your servant. You tell it what to do, and it should obey you. So you don't, if you're dealing with sickness in your body, you speak. The other day, I spoke to my body. I began to feel, years ago, some of you know this, I had a meniscus tear. And I went in to get my meniscus fixed. And the doctor who worked on that little tear told my wife, as I was still out, he was working on my knees, and he said, your husband, and I was only 43 or so, I don't know, remember, 44, early 40s, and he said, your husband has the knees of a 60-year-old man already. He said, there's arthritis forming in there, all these things forming in there, and she said, well, he's ran, I think she told him that, but she told me later, I've told you all these years to stop running out there on the pavement. It's going to ruin your knees. She's just mean to me, guys. She's really just mean to me. Guys, I'm kidding. She's the sweetest woman in the world. I wouldn't say any of this stuff if she wasn't. I'd be getting it later. But she did kind of throw that in my face. I've told you all these years to stop running on the pavement. He told me I had the knees of a 60-year-old man. After I had the heart surgery, I really wanted to get back to running. So I went in. I had a little bit of pain in one of my knees. I went to the same surgeon. He does how many surgeries a week. He didn't remember me from anybody. He didn't know I was the same guy. And those little meniscus surgeries, you don't see the scar after a year. It's gone. And so I'm sitting there, and I said, well, my knee hurts. He said, well, let's do an x-ray. And so he looked at both my knees, and he said, well, your knees are perfect. Your knees are fine. And I said, well, you told me. I told him after it was all said, you told me a few years ago. He said, I did? Now, here's what happened. After he told me that, I remember the night that we had Brother Crowder here. And he was talking to us about speaking to our bodies. And I spoke to my knees, and I told them, you be healed, and you be like new knees. And not arthritis, you have to go in the name of Jesus. Now, I did not have a moment where all of a sudden I felt, you know, the electricity flow through my knees. But have you ever had a pain and it go away, and you just, and someday you say, that pain's not here anymore. You know what I mean? And I just remember one day I'd been exercising and doing something that my knees would used to hurt. And I thought, I haven't had any knee pain. And then it's like the Lord hit me. Well, you said to your knees. You spoke to your, why are you surprised? I spoke to my knees. So just not very long ago, I began to feel a little ache in my knee. And so I began to speak. I was walking in the park, and I just started talking to my knees. And I thought, you know, while I'm at it, the older I get, I'm going to the doctor here this coming Friday. First time ever in my life, I had to make a list of things I need to ask her about. I got this little pain. I don't know what this is. You know what I mean? I need you to look at this spot here. What is that? What is this? I know what she's going to tell me. Well, you get that when you get a certain age. I don't want to hear that stuff. I've got a list because I don't want to forget, which is another thing I'm dealing with. I need to put that on the list. Yes, memory. Help me remember to put that on the list. I feel like I'm falling apart someday. But as I'm walking through the park and I just thought, well, if I'm going to talk to my knees, why don't I just go ahead and talk to this pain that I've been having? And then while I'm doing that, why don't I just go ahead? In fact, why don't I just go ahead and tell my body to stay whole and to stay healed? You know what I did? I didn't stop at my body. I began to speak about your bodies. I began to say, Lord, just keep your hand on our church. We're going through this old pandemic. Everybody getting sick. Just put a hedge. And I reinforce what I've been praying for a long time. God, I'm just speaking to the bodies of our people, not just to get through this thing, but to be healthy, to be whole, to be strong. And God, while you're at it, and I'm talking about your body, increase our faith and make us. I began to speak to the body, and you didn't even know I was speaking to you, but I was speaking to the body of Christ to be strong, to be whole, for your faith to be increased. And I believe God is honoring it.
Amen.
And the other day my foot started hurting. Can I just tell you all my aches and pains? Is that all right? Maybe some of you got some remedies for me. My foot started hurting. I don't need my foot to hurt. I want to walk, you know. Every once in a while, brother, I do this at the park at McCormick's Creek so nobody can see me. But if nobody's around, I try to jog, try to get back into jogging. And so it looks so goofy that I don't want anybody to see me doing that. But then I started incorporating. Anybody ever do the river trail, Trail 7 at McCormick's Creek? It takes you down by the river. Two of you know what I'm talking about. It's about a 1.7-mile, kind of rugged, moderate to rugged trail. But there's some steps. If you see over to your left, there's some steps. There's 139, I counted them, steps, steep steps. So I thought, I'm going to incorporate these into my walk, and I did that the other day. And, oh, man, that gets your heart rate up coming back up there. Thank God they got little ramps every once in a while you can get over and let people go. But I did those steps, and the next day my foot hurt. And I thought, I called my foot a turkey. I said, you turkey. Try to knock me out of doing the steps. I'm going to do those steps. I rubbed my foot, and I just said, you know, you be healed in the name of Jesus. I haven't had another pain in that foot. And I've had plantar fasciitis. Is that what it's called? I've had that before in my other foot. It takes a long time to get over. I knew that's what was coming on. I could feel it. It's the same pain. I woke up the next morning. My foot hasn't bothered me since. I'm claiming that in the name of Jesus. So you can talk to mountains, you can talk to trees, you can talk to your feet, you can talk to your knees, you can talk to your finances if you're doing what God has told you to do about your finances. You can speak to your marriage. You can speak to your family situation. You can speak to your job situation. You can speak. Anybody ever talk to your car? You know you have. If you've ever had a clunker, I've had a few of those. You talk to your car. Oh, come on, please, 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 please. While it's going, you're saying, please, 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 please. Not today. No, not today. Not today. Not here. Not right now. I remember driving home one night, years and years ago, driving home from work. It was raining. My windshield wipers just stopped working. Just wouldn't even come on. And you know how you do, you get frustrated. Not you, maybe, but I get, why? Why not? You know, all my sermons started coming back to me. I could hear my wife's voice saying, well, you preach about that, you know. And so I just said, windshield wipers in the name of Jesus. Turned them back on. They worked. Now that sounds like a small thing to you because you weren't driving in a torrential downpour trying to get home. But when you speak, you can speak to cars, you can speak to washing machines, you can speak to things in the name of Jesus. This sounds corny to the world. They're already dialing out on us when we start talking about this stuff. They'll sit and worry and fret and lose their mind and go on medication trying to get their nerves under control and worry and fret and toss and lose sleep. And they'll laugh at us for just saying, in the name of Jesus, you rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus, you be healed. In the name of Jesus, windshield wipers, you start working right now in Jesus' name. I don't have the money to get you fixed right now. In the name of Jesus, washing machine, I'm going to turn you on and you're going to work. In the name of Jesus, marriage, you're going to be made whole. In the name of Jesus, children, you're going to be saved in Jesus' name. You can speak to those things. And our music is coming. Our music is coming. You can be seated. Now, I want to make this point and then I'm going to be done here. But these commands, these spiritual commands, are never, in fact, I think I just read for you probably the longest, wordiest command that we see exampled in the Bible. Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea. 14 words. I think that's probably the lengthiest command that we'll see. Because when we see Jesus speaking, he says things like, Lazarus, come forth. That's not some long 20-minute wordy exhortation, prayer, admonition. Lazarus, come forth. He said it with authority and power. And it took place. Have you ever been in a moment of danger and just say, Jesus? Brother Honeycutt's not here today, but he could, if he was, I'd let him tell you the testimony he shared on the men's text the other day of him and his, who was with him? Does anybody remember? Chris, you remember who was in the car with him when that happened? Daughter and a friend, some kids, and two kids, and three kids were in the car with him. He was driving, I think, over around Patricksburg, somewhere on 46. I butcher these things, but I'm going to get the gist of it. I make the mistake of asking somebody to keep me honest, and then the whole time they're sitting there going, no, and I should have just went for it. He's driving down the road. His car, another car is crossing the line, coming right at them. He said, I didn't have time to get out of the way. He said, I started to swerve. He said, I knew the only thing that I could hope for was to try to get out of the way enough for him to hit the back of our car and not the front of our car. And he said, I prayed, Jesus. I wish I had time. I'd look the text up. And he cried out, Jesus. He said, brother, he said to the men, I do not know what happened, but that car went right. It had to go right through us because it didn't touch us. And I looked in my mirror, and he's on down the road, and we're on down the road just saying, Jesus. Because sometimes you can't go to your closet of prayer. You just got to authoritatively, Jesus. Jesus said things like to the woman who was bound by the infirmity for 18 years, bowed over, woman, thou art loosed. Four words. And immediately, Lazarus, come forth. Three words. And the dead walks. Peace. Be still. The storm ceases. Come out of him. 2,000 devils come running out of a man. Take up thy bed and walk. And a lame man gets out of his cot, picks it up, begins to walk. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And a dead little girl gets off of her deathbed and walks. Come! And Peter gets out of a boat and walks on the water to go to Jesus. I'm simply telling you, you have more power in your faith and your words. And if we as the church ever understand that, the devil is in trouble. If we ever understand that we could just flip around on the devil and say, you know what, devil? I'm not spending one more sleepless night. What's this? Mind? Have peace. You think that sounds silly, but if you ever get to the point about ready to lose your mind, if you've ever been blind your whole life, you would welcome spit and mud being plopped on your eye sockets if it would get you healed. If you you've ever had leprosy, you dip seven times in a river. It was muddy, dirty, if you thought it would cleanse you. Mind, have peace. Heart, be healed. Gallbladder, be made new. Appendix, calm down. Knees, be whole. Stand, would you? I hope you get what I'm saying today. Use your faith. Exercise your faith. You've got it. Use it. Look for opportunities. I'm telling you, look for opportunities. What can you pray about? What can you pray for? What can you speak to? Try it. You tithers that are having trouble with your finances, have you ever just got your bills out and laid them out on the table? I know some of this stuff, if anybody saw you doing it, they'd think you were crazy, but crazy stuff brings crazy results, you know? The people that think you're crazy, they're the same ones telling Bartimaeus, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. What you talking about? You ain't been blind your whole life. You're telling me this is crazy to pray over my bills. That's because you got money in the bank. Your kids all eating whatever they want. Your kids picking clothes out of their closet, which ones they want to wear. I need some money up in here. You ever think about just putting those bills out on the table? Now I'm talking to you tithers. If you're not a tither, you start with godly principles of your finances. But I'm telling you, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen their seed begging bread. I'm just going to speak to my finances in the name of Jesus. You never know. I've heard stories, people praying over their finances, and while they're praying, knock at the door. God told me to bring you some groceries. I don't know why. Mailman at the door. Special delivery. Somebody sent me a check. I don't know who, I don't know why. That's the kind of God we serve. What do you need to move? 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 What do you need moved in your life? Maybe if you just speak to that thing. By faith, in authority. Nothing will change with you whining. Nothing will change with you complaining. Nothing will change from you having another telephone conversation about how big your problems are. Nothing will change. But when you look at that thing and say, in the name of Jesus, be thou plucked up by the roots and be thou planted over there in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, things will happen in your life. Oh, can we spend a few minutes in the presence of the Lord right now? This altar's open if you want to come and pray. You can pray at your seat. Let's enter into the presence of the Lord for just a little longer. Come on, we're going to sing. We're going to worship the Lord a little bit. Whatever it is you need today, let the Lord speak to you. And then why don't you begin to speak to that matter in Jesus' name.